You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. Taking you around the world in the NFL for the next 2 hours, I'm Mike Blewett. Along with my co-host, George Kurtz, we're happy to have you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And George, to get right to it, there's obviously big news last night, which we don't always have coming out of preseason games. A lot of fluff, a lot of guys that will not have much fantasy impact, playing a lot of minutes, getting a lot of snaps throughout the course of the preseason. But last night, we had yet another big injury, which is the thing that you say all the time we're trying to avoid, as it is feared. Julian Edelman will be out for the season with a torn ACL.
Yeah, they did the last minute test, and that didn't come out well for Edelman. They are expecting that it's an ACL and that he's done. They'll know for sure this morning, or at some time today, I should say, when they have the MRI. And Spencer Ware, some worry about him as well, although for him, it looks like it's more of a PCL injury, not an ACL.
Yeah, so the reality for Ware is he gets carted off the field. People feared the worst. In fact, one of our colleagues was mid-draft, and the person up on the draft, it's a little bit more of a slow draft, so there's not a timed clock. You just pick as you're ready with, 4 to 6 hours or so in between picks. That person picked Spencer Ware. Ware gets hurt. Our colleague was two picks away waiting on Kareem Hunt, who he's a fan of, and he doesn't think it'll get to him. That pick in between was likely to be scooped up. So there are, in that instance, immediate fantasy implications. Regarding the Chiefs, there will be long-term ramifications, as there will be in New England. We'll break both of those situations down in a little bit more detail, George, but we would think that we've seen a little bit of a preview of what could happen with maybe Kareem Hunt taking snaps from Spencer Ware and Chris Hogan taking snaps from Julian Edelman.
Yeah, truth is, Casey, I might have taken Hunt over Ware anyway. I didn't have much faith in Ware holding that job, really, outside of September. Although Hunt was the more valuable pick there. I think Hunt now vaults, assuming that the news isn't all that great for Ware. And I don't think it's season-ending. From what I'm hearing, if it's PCL, he could start on the PUP. He could be on IR, designated for return, but he could come back at some point this season. But still, Hunt's the guy you want there over Ware, certainly now. Hunt also probably, to me, sneaks into a top two running back. So I think I would go to number 18 overall on my rankings, Mike.
And where had he been prior to that?
Ware wasn't in my top 24, or just barely inside. Actually, I thought Ware would lose that job eventually to Hunt anyway. I didn't think he was going to keep it. Don't get me wrong, it's a loss because he still would have been somewhat valuable. Running backs are valuable. Anybody who's going to touch the ball is valuable at running back, so it's still a loss. I know I have him in my home league. I'm not happy about it because now I have to replace it with somebody who doesn't have a starting job right now, and probably that person on my roster is Samaje Perine.
So what you'll see with a lot of drafts is that you may not be huge fans of players in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th rounds. But those players do have value. It doesn't mean that they are a top two running back, but it does mean they have value. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the Pats, how it all shakes out with the injury, and the Chiefs as well. We're with you for 2 hours on the Roto Experts. We're back on the Roto Experts. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George Kurtz. I like to keep it simple. So, as we said previously, we've got some injuries to deal with. It's not a lot of fun. Nobody wants this to happen to any player. Nobody wants this to happen to any fantasy players that they might have already have drafted. So, we're going to try to sort through the Patriots injury first. So, Julian Edelman believed to have the torn ACL. Obviously, nothing is definite as of yet, but we saw the play. It looks like he went down when he tried to cut away from a defender on a nice little play, typical Brady to Edelman kind of play. And George, he had another non-contact injury, and we never look, the preseason games, a lot of different things can happen, but it also is just another opportunity for the non-contact injuries to happen, which appears to be happening with Edelman as he was cutting away from a defender.
Yeah, I mean, I forget who it was on Twitter, but sorry, they posted, it's so true. Whenever we see a non-contact knee injury per player go off, it's never good news. Or at least it seems like it's never good news. Either Keenan Allen or Ryan Tannehill. I mean, it's just, it always seems to be that torn ACL. It seems to be a pure signal that the ACL is torn from one of the cuts and it just gives out. You know, when it comes to the ACL, I've torn my ACL. So I had a doctor explain to me over and over again, if you play sports, your ACL is torn. It's just a matter of what degree. You know, and it's, so it's very easy for it to, you know, for that last cut to tear it completely. You know, but we've all played sports, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. We've all been cutting. So your ACL is torn, and it's going to give way at some point. You know, in this case, you know, with a lot of cases, it gives way without being hit, without being touched. I know, and we're going to hear all the cries now. It's too many preseason games. You know, what's Edelman played? One series, two series this whole preseason? It's really just more bad luck than anything else. This could have happened in practice.
Right. So as part of this game, we should mention that Tom Brady looked like Tom Brady. 12 of 15, 174 yards, two touchdowns. He threw a pick on his last attempt. It was kind of a heave interception into the end zone. But prior to that, he was nearly perfect. I believe he went 10-11 in that first quarter with the two touchdowns. And both of those touchdowns, George, which leads me to our next point, went to Chris Hogan. So we've done a lot of hemming and hawing during this offseason, and we typically do with the Patriots, as to how the touches are going to shake out, because Brandon Cooks was added to the mix, a very explosive wide receiver added from the Saints. Obviously, they traded that first-round pick for him. So how many touches does Cooks get? How healthy is Gronkowski, and how much can they work him into the offense? We thought Edelman would be his typical staple self, picking up first downs over and over and over again. Chris Hogan and Danny Amendola have always been tangential but valuable at times, right? That's the difficulty of the Patriots' fantasy offense. They use different pieces. But now we have something really significant to sort out, and that's where do these Julian Edelman touches go?
Well, I think it's probably going to be spread around to whoever Brady feels like throwing to, whoever Belichick believes the matchup is again. Hogan last night is going to definitely vault his draft stock up, two touchdowns. Everyone's going to assume, it's automatically Chris Hogan. You know, but last year, Malcolm Mitchell was actually a receiver that, as the season went on, Brady was throwing to more. Now, Cooks threw that all into a whole big mess when he was acquired because he's going to play on the outside. But could you make the argument that if you move, I think it's probably too late in training camp to do this, but Cooks could be a more valuable in a slot, and they put Malcolm and Hogan on the outside? You know, I wonder if that could eventually be something that Belichick considers as well. Bottom line is this. I did move up Cooks a little bit on my rankings, but he's already a top 10. What am I going to do? I can't move up top 5. But I think he becomes a player who gets more targets here. I think Hogan and Mitchell pretty much are about even now, only because of how Brady used them last year. As I said, as the season went on, it was Mitchell who was more valuable. In the Super Bowl, it was Mitchell who was valuable. He was the receiver that Brady was looking for. So I'm not going to move Hogan up into my wide receiver 2. I've moved Hogan. I had him higher than Mitchell anyway. So I moved him into the 40s and Mitchell into the 50s, but I think that's pretty close to a coin toss.
Yeah, so last year Julian Edelman received 158 targets. Keep in mind that is without Rob Gronkowski for half a season. Brandon Cooks had 117 targets in New Orleans last year. George, 57 for Hogan. Amendola, 29. But four touchdowns for Amendola in those 29 targets. And four touchdowns for Hogan in those 57 targets. We obviously saw what Hogan could do against the Steelers in that playoff game. I think Hogan, I think the best way to say it, George, is because we obviously can't precisely figure it out, but the biggest beneficiary of all this should be Hogan.
It should be. But like I said, I mean, it could be if Gronk's healthy all year, then he's going to get a lot of those targets. Right? It'll be Gronk getting the ball. Cooks is going to get hit more than his share than either wide receiver would have last year, because they didn't have a guy like that on the outside. So Cooks is going to be targeted more. Maybe the running backs. Maybe it's James White. You know, coming out of the backfield, those little flip-out passes. Maybe those guys will be throwing the ball more. Brady does like to get the ball out of his hand early so he avoids hits. So that could happen as well. You know, bottom line is, like I said, I think Hogan gets a boost, yes. But, I mean, draft-wise, I'm not drafting him in before probably round 8, round 9. I don't think it's a guy you're worried about starting week in and week out. New England, as much as the running backs scare me, the wide receivers scare me too. It's going to be game plan specific. It's really only Gronk and Cooks that I'd really like to have.
In situations like this, George, I think the problem is that people really inflate the value of Hogan to the point where drafters like you and I will get scared away from it. Though people will start drafting him in the sixth round as a virtual identical replacement for Edelman, and that is very unlikely to be the case. There are too many other weapons there, particularly Cooks, whom they're trying to still, obviously, find out specifically what his role is. I'm sure Belichick has a really good idea, but that's not really going to leave that room. So we're left to guess a little bit, which leads me to my next point on the Patriots. Deion Lewis got the start in the Patriots' backfield. He had 4 carries for 11 yards. James White earned the next reps with the starters. He had 4 carries for 25 yards. Mike Gillisley took goal line carries, and he got a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. That's 8 carries for 38 yards. And Rex Burkhead sat out the game. And according to the NFL, good luck to all fantasy football fans trying to decipher the Patriots' backfield. That's from NFL.com, and I have to completely concur.
Well, this is not new. You know, what have we been saying? You and I have been doing these shows for how long? Bill Belichick hates fantasy. He hates fantasy players. Right? He just doesn't care. You know, his job is not to make you happy. He doesn't care about making his players happy. His job is to win football games. And if the game plan for that week says, hey, this is a Burkhead week, then Burkhead's going to be the guy. Next week could be Gillisley. Next week could be White or a combination of two of the three. You know, there's no thank you. I'm not getting involved in this, Mike. And because I'm not going to play this game every Sunday at 12:55, trying to figure out which guy should be in my lineup and which guy shouldn't be. You know, when you guess wrong, you know, you want to rip out your hair, you want to just start break pencils, bro, yelling and screaming at the TV. I'm not doing it. You know, and I have a funny feeling now with the wide receivers other than Cooks. Now this is the next Bill Belichick game you get to play. No, thank you.
So the player with the most rushing yardage returning to the team is Deion Lewis. That was only 283 yards. James White was next with 166 yards. However, James White did have 60 catches for 551 yards and 5 touchdowns. Going back, when you start to tie the two together, the Edelman injury, all the other guys that could look at touches, we do think Hogan is the biggest beneficiary, but I would point back to George's previous comment about do the running back see some of these touches. I would not be at all surprised, George, if we see James White in the slot playing wide receiver for a good portion of the season, and those 60 catches could turn into 75, and you have yourself a really legitimate PPR running back in fantasy.
Absolutely, they could do that too, because that sort of alleviates half the problem with the running backs, right? Okay, we know we're doing one of them now. Now we got to split the carries between the other three. There's so many options, and Bill Belichick will take advantage of anything he thinks will work for the team. All right, James White should have won the MVP in the Super Bowl last year. And this kid can play too, so it's just scary the options that New England has. Yes, for fantasy wise, especially if you've already drafted Edelman, that it's a blow. But for New England, you know, it's just next. You know, I think that's the way Belichick looks at it. They lost Gronk last year, didn't miss a beat. I don't think they'll miss it. NFL wise, I don't think they'll miss a beat with Edelman out either.
I think I agree with you. Look, Julian Edelman 5 years ago on this team was just a bit player in the same ilk of Hogan and Amendola now, because Wes Welker had his role and he developed into a PPR monster here over the last 3 seasons. So I tend to agree. I think it's next man up. I think they have a lot of these guys. They acquire a lot of guys like Welker and Edelman and Amendola and Hogan. Those are in successive order because they know that they can utilize those guys very well. So I'll ask you one question, George. Outside of Tom Brady, who is the Patriot that you think is most reliable for fantasy?
I don't think there is one because Gronk, you can't have a lot rely on him to stay healthy. Cooks, he is sort of new there. We don't know what we're going to get. Hogan, Mitchell, no. The running backs, no. That's a great question, Mike. I guess, I can't say Gronk. I know he's going to miss 4 games eventually. I just don't know when. Give me Cooks. I guess it's him.
I think it's now James White for me. I think go up. I know it's tough, but in a PPR league, if I'm throwing him in a flex, I think I'm getting about 5 catches every week. It's Mike and George. We'll be back to talk about the Chiefs after the break. The soothe sounds of the Roto Experts. Now on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, thanks for joining us today. I would ask you to download the Fantasy Sports Radio app. Go to Google Play or iTunes in order to download that and get all of this content anytime, anywhere. So thank you for that. Beyond that, go to therotoexperts.com. You'll find tons of great content. The exclusive Edge Draft Package is now available. You can enter free radio for a special discount at checkout. So tons of stuff in there regarding projections, cheat sheets, and all kinds of stuff to have you ready for your drafts here in the next 2 weeks. George, I mean, we've done some drafts already, obviously. This is where we play in multiple leagues. But this weekend and really right through September 7th when the Pats kick off against the Chiefs is really where we see a vast majority of drafts. People have it as close to the season as possible, which we do recommend. And we're going to see tons and tons of people still drafting in these last 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Listen, I wish I had a draft the Wednesday before of the league. So I would like to draft that Thursday night right before game one. I think it's the best time. I get it. It's not always possible. Most of the leagues I drafted are already completed because it's hard to get everyone together. The league that I'm the commissioner in had the draft last Thursday. Had no choice. You know, I sent out a list of, you know, hey, everybody, give me a list of dates you can't make a draft. And August 16th ended up being the only day from the 15th on that no one canceled, no one nailed. It's frustrating to have a draft that early because my brother drafted Edelman, I think, in round 5. Well, he no longer has Edelman, and it sucks. You know, I said I had Ware, so I'm probably going to lose him. That's life in the big city. You move on.
Life in the big city. I do think, by the way, that I have Julian Edelman in a league. We tend to have a lot of drafts, George and I do. So I tend, and we do, when we're doing, look, there's plenty of people out there listening that do plenty of, that do multiple drafts, but we're also doing so many mock drafts. There was a moment a week ago where I had to sit down and map out all my rosters because I wanted to make sure I wasn't going too deep on a player or I was avoiding any players that I still wanted. And I realized that I didn't own Leonard Fournette, but I had drafted him in every mock draft that I had done. And it's odd that when it push came to shove, I didn't draft him. So I'm making sure that I don't have Edelman. It appears that I dodged that bullet, but I'll continue to check. Now, I would also direct you over to Twitter where we have the poll up. Considering our conversation in the last segment, we were talking about which players are most reliable outside of Tom Brady. Who did you end up picking? I don't remember. You mentioned every guy on the team. I don't remember who you ended up selecting. In any event, we are asking you which of the following Patriots are the most reliable fantasy option. We left out Gronk and Cooks because obviously those guys have the potential to put up massive numbers. But we left you with James White, Chris Hogan, Mike Gillisley, and Danny Amendola. So those are the options for you. Feel free to vote to your heart's content on Twitter at FNDSY Radio. So a lot of setup there. But, George, we'll move on to the next team, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. You mentioned at the Open that Kareem Hunt was the guy that you preferred to Spencer Ware anyway. But we were looking at a draft last night, a draft grid last night, and we saw that Spencer Ware was going, I believe, in the fifth round.
That's surprising. I mean, in my home league, I had him in the ninth round, so I was able to keep him from last year, and I didn't want to keep him because I just really believe he's going to lose that job.
Sorry, it was mid-sixth. I want to correct myself before you comment. It was mid-sixth round.
Doesn't make me feel much better. But once again, I think it goes to the theory that every starting running back, and he would have started the season as a starter. I think he would have lost that job eventually, maybe by October, maybe by the end of September. Kareem Hunt is the better talent. And he used to go by last year where he sort of lost that job at the end of the season. He wasn't starting anymore. Certainly wasn't going to be the goal line back. You know? So, like I said, I think it's a mess with Spencer Ware. He's not somebody I was dying to get. I would have been lowering my rankings steadily throughout August here. But still, it's a loss. It's not like it's it's no big deal. It's a big deal. It's still a flex running back for someone who's going to cover your bye, so it's a loss. We don't know the extent of his injury. I'll say it again. They think it's more of a PCL meniscus injury with Ware. As of I went to bed around 1 a.m. So around as of 1 a.m., that's what they thought the injury was. 6 hours later, overnight. I don't think they have any more new information. There'll be an MRI today at some point, and we'll get a better determination. They think it's a PCL that's not season-ending. He could be back in the second half of the season, so don't release him today. You know, hopefully you have an IR spot in your league. If he goes on PUP, which I don't think he will, I think he'll be on IR designated for return. You might get him back at some point. So keep that in mind here. He still does have some value.
That would, if they put him on the pup list, George, you got 2 weeks. They got, well, they have a little less than 2 weeks. So they have like 12 days to their next game plus 6 weeks. Call it 8 weeks, right? From 8 weeks from today, where he'd be off the PUP and be able to play that Sunday game. I haven't looked at their schedule. I don't.
Yeah, but he can't practice with the team if he's on PUP. That's the problem. So I mean,
he's a veteran.
He's a running back. They're going to want to see what he can do, get back in shape too. That's why PUP is a. I don't know. I don't understand why the NFL does things like that. You're on the PUP, you can't practice. Why? You're on the PUP, you can't play for 6 weeks. Why is that not enough? Why do you have to make it? You can't practice too. I don't know. I understand there's probably somebody with some teams are cheating and stashing players. I get it. Because truly,
yeah,
I believe.
I guarantee you that happened, and that's why they adjusted that.
But. Listen, the Cowboys in the 70s, the reason why the IR is the way the IR is because the Cowboys in the 70s and other teams as well used to stash players. Oh, we like this guy, but we don't have enough room on the roster. Oh, he's on IR. He's hurt for the year. And you get to see what he does next year. All right, so yes, teams did that. There's always a reason why. I get it. But it's just, I don't know, not being able to practice, I don't see that being a smart thing to do for your players because won't that just lead to more injuries later on? So I'd like to see that rule changed. I do like the fact the NFL sort of eased up on the IR because in this day and age, you know, players are going to get hurt more often. Players are bigger, stronger, faster, so these collisions are worse. And I do think you should be able to bring back more than one player on IR. Now it's two. I would even like to see it extended further than that.
I don't disagree with you at all. So in any event, the Chiefs, we got some issues here. Ware was going about mid-sixth round. Kareem Hunt, who actually in this draft that we're taking a look at is a little bit more of an expert's draft. So guys do take some wild swings in ways that they might not in your home league. But this is a crazy draft because it was going, it's a four-hour clock in between a slow draft. Julian Edelman went with the fourth pick in the sixth round. Spencer went with the fifth pick in the sixth round. These injuries literally happened minutes after those selections were made. Then Danny Woodhead went, and then
that's what you want to do. You want to strangle yourself right about then.
Yeah, it's just crazy how that would happen back to back. And then Kareem Hunt goes to our colleague Matt Modica at CTM Baseball on Twitter. Very good follow. He takes Kareem Hunt. So if Kareem Hunt is going mid-six there, you figure it bumps him up probably two rounds, George, because it was believed, as you said, that he was going to win that job. He was the presumed starter. But as a rookie, probably going to share carries. Now they might throw him to the fire. Sure, Kendrick West came in last night. He wasn't very effective. I saw him doing some good things with blitz pickup and that other kind of stuff, and he wasn't working with the first-team offense, so it's not a totally fair comparison. But Kareem Hunt, you figure, gets elevated a couple of rounds, maybe to where Joe Mixon is being drafted for a lot of people.
I like Kareem Hunt. I like him a lot. So I liked him anyway. You know, so I'm on board here. And he's not a small guy. He's 5'11", 208. So we're not talking about somebody who can't get the goal line carries, although I would assume that maybe West gets those. Because once again, if Ware is out long term, he can't run the Hunter to the ground. I don't think he's quite built. He's not Ezekiel Elliott, someone like that. He's going to get the ball, you know, 300 times to. So West will have some value. So, yeah, the bottom line is, Mike, I'm on board here with Hunt. I think he's put it right. I'm probably interested in round four. You know, maybe even earlier there, depending on how the running backs go in your league. I think this is great news for guys who drafted Hunt. I liked him anyway. I like him a whole bunch more now. I moved up to 16, which means I am as a starting running back for your fantasy league, a mid running back too.
Yeah, George and I play in a league called the Scott Fishbowl, which to those of you that are unfamiliar, is a very large league. 720 teams. You're separated into 60 different 12-team divisions. So there's some funky rules where first downs instead of PPR are included. So it's a lot of fun. But we drafted, gosh, that was
forever.
Over a month ago now, right? I'm saying it started early like July. Right after July 4th. Yeah. So in any event, I took Kareem Hunt then. I have like three rookie. I have a couple of rookie running backs that I'm really relying on. One of them is Kareem Hunt. The other one, Christian McCaffrey. So
now you say that I got to check that roster to make sure I don't have Edelman.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, George, this offense really struggled last night. The first team offense against Kansas City. Alex Smith went 7 of 17 for 44 yards. Pat Mahomes came in. He was brutal, but he's a rookie going against Seattle defense. What did you think was going to happen? Like he was getting killed on multiple plays. I didn't think he played poorly. I just thought the offense was ineffective, and it wasn't really his fault. Their only touchdown came on a 98-yard kick return for a touchdown. Not Tyreek Hill, by the way, DeAnthony Thomas. For those of you playing in leagues where return yardage matters, he's the guy you'd want for kicks. And Tyreek Hill will not be returning kicks this year for the Chiefs, at least to start the season. I don't think they want to.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, but, I mean, there are injury issues with kick returners, and now that he's effectively their number one wide receiver, not their number one pass catcher, their number one wide receiver, because Kelsey's the number one pass catcher, I can understand it.
I understand it, too, but what he does best is the kick returns, right? And you're eliminating that from your game plan there? Aren't you hurting your team that way? This is not the next coming of A.J. Green, which is going to be that kind of wide receiver. He's going to be a guy who's going to hit big plays, and those big plays he could have hit are on special teams. You don't have the offense to be able to afford this. This guy is field position. He's a danger. So I don't like this move at all, and I don't have Edelman in that league, but I do have Kenneth Dixon, so things aren't all that much better.
All right, so Kareem Hunt was going 35th. He's shooting up draft boards now, 35th running back. He's in the RB2 conversation immediately. So we'll talk about that a little bit more and more on the Roto Experts. Mike and George are back on the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's good to have you here. And we were talking about the Chiefs. We'll ask to put a bow on that. And honestly, if you want to call us, and you can feel free to give us a call at 84FNTSY. Ask any of your fantasy questions. But I would say specifically on the Chiefs, fantasypros.com is a site that many of us use in order to just find out what the aggregated experts rankings are at the moment. That's a good place for you to go to see where the aggregated expert rankings are. George, I think you're a part of that. I know Jake Seeley from Roto Experts is part of that. So we have our opinions put in there, as well as many other sites from around the country. So Kareem Hunt was the 35th running back off the board. Spencer Ware was the 25th. So Spencer Ware was right on the verge of that RB2 conversation. I think you can eliminate him from that completely and put him outside of the RB3 range until we hear how serious or not the injury is. As George said, it could very well be like a 2-month injury. If it's a torn PCL and it requires some sort of surgery, who knows? But let's just wait till we get all the news before we play doctor on the radio. Kareem Hunt was going 35th with George and I, would 35th running back off the board with George and I would both tell you was too low. Now, I think he firmly moves up. You can at least switch places with them where you have Kareem Hunt at the very tail end of that RB2 conversation. And when we're talking about some RB2s, this is PPR format, by the way. Ameer Abdullah, C.J. Anderson, Bilal Powell, Danny Woodhead. I like him more than all those guys, George.
Same here. Not even close. I like him more than all those guys.
Mark Ingram, Joe Mixon, Carlos Hyde, Marshawn
Lynch. Now we're getting closer.
Dalvin Cook, Ty Montgomery. Is he right in that range?
Yeah, I'm looking for where I have him here. I have above though that range. I have him at 15 right now. So I have guys. I have above Lynch, above Lamar Miller, who's another guy I don't trust, above Fournette right now because of his issues there with the foot, not playing the week one, and the fact that, oh, my God, it's Chad Henne at quarterback.
Yeah, we got issues in Jacksonville. I love Fournette 2 months ago. I don't feel as strong as I did about him. You might be getting him at a little bit of value now simply because he's going to see so many touches, but I can assure you he's going to be having some Todd Gurley-like problems, which is in reference to Todd Gurley's struggles last year where he got a million touches, but the offense is terrible. They couldn't have any quarterback play there, and he struggled from a fantasy standpoint and did not deliver on his first-round draft status. And Fournette might have some similar issues. I mean, they're benching Bortles. There's still talk of them cutting him, George, which is
that's to avoid the contract issue. Yeah, that makes some sense because he gets hurt, you're screwed. So that does make sense if you're not going to start him. But once again, I hate to bring this up, but shouldn't they be looking at Kaepernick?
Well, interestingly, I don't think it's a bad time to bring it up if we, since we're shifting over to the Jags. Their owner came out, Shad Khan came out and said, according to our former colleague Mike Dempsey, who does a local radio station there for the Jacksonville Jaguars, radio show for the Jacksonville Jaguars, their owner, Shad Khan, is sort of on record as saying he absolutely would take a look at Colin Kaepernick. From a football perspective, I don't know exactly how much sense it makes, but Kaepernick can play the style that they need him to play. I think people get hung up on the fact, well, he's a scrambling quarterback and all this other stuff. Kaepernick's now a veteran QB. He's versatile enough that he can play QB from the pocket if they need him to. He did a decent job last year of limiting turnovers, which was a little bit of a bugaboo for him in the past. And I do think, honestly, if they're going to jettison Bortles, Kaepernick would make sense, unless they think that Brandon Allen, who's a young quarterback there, is the developmental prospect that they want, which I haven't heard, but I'm not in the Jaguars locker room.
I'll go one for two with you there. I agree about the prospect quarterback. If they think he's ready to take over in, let's say, October or whatever it might be, then fine. You're going to have to eat it for a couple of weeks. Maybe you're praying that you can go 2-2 with Henny. I don't know. But the problem is, I think you're incorrect about Kaepernick. I don't think he can play in the pocket. I think you do need to change your offense around, and it may be late in the game to do so. I think this is part of the reason why, not the entire reason. I certainly do think he's blackballed somewhat. You're going to have a hard time convincing me he's not one of the top 96 quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he's one of the top 32. So I think he should have a starting job somewhere. But I get it. As a backup quarterback, it's hard to plug him in there because I think you do need to change your offense. You know, that's why I think there are certain teams that he matches up better with. Seahawks, Russell Wilson, Cowboys, Dak Prescott. I think he would make sense for those teams and a couple of others as well. But for if you're you still have 2 weeks left. I mean, you could bring him in and plug him in there. You tell me he's not better than Checkdown Chad. I mean, I can't buy that. Is Jacksonville really worried about the distractions he's going to bring for the first week to 10 days? And he will. You know, listen, if I'm the owner or if I'm the coach, and I get assurances from Kaepernick that he's not going to bring any publicity to it. You know, he's not going to, use the starting quarterback as a pulpit for whatever he wants to do. If he promises me that, he's just going to be an NFL quarterback. If I'm Jacksonville, I have to unless his contract demands are out of whack, I have to seriously think about bringing him in right now. I think Jacksonville's a decent team. I'm not saying they're going to win the division, Mike. All right? Not saying it. But I think they're a decent team, and they have to seriously consider bringing him in.
I agree. Look, he's kind of out of options. He's been quiet about it. And look, I didn't intend to have a Colin Kaepernick segment, but when we're talking about the Jaguars, it kind of makes sense. And the owner said something about it in the last 2 days. So that's why we're talking about it. From a football standpoint, I do think it makes sense to your point. I do think that the team runs into issues. Of course, there's outside pressure. Of course, there's teams aren't signing him because of his political stance. But he has been quiet about it. He's actually the only thing he's really been on record about is to say that he would not protest an anthem this season, as other players are doing. I do think they face pressure from sponsors. I think they face even more pressure, George, from local law enforcement forces, some of whom work security in and around games. I think that's where the owners run into some difficulty. They lean on local law enforcement a lot, obviously, to help them at games and at outside events, and owners might even look at some personal security in certain instances. And I think, given the disagreement between Kaepernick and those local law enforcement forces or their objection to his protest, I think that's where a lot of owners feel very uncomfortable about it. I think they receive pressure from those groups.
Oh, absolutely. And I understand that. And if you're going to lose money out of it, then I'm probably not going to sign you either. Because the season tickets, all your sponsors, those luxury boxes, and all this other stuff that gets sold. So there's a lot that plays into this that, I guess the average fan doesn't realize here. And we all have our personal opinions. Like I said, I don't like the idea of sitting for the national anthem. I think that's disrespectful. I think I don't mind the standing with your fist in the air. Or whatever, that doesn't bother me whatsoever. That's how you want to make your point across. That the players who now have their arms around the shoulders of the other player to show support, that doesn't bother me either, but not for a player who's sitting. I can't do it for a player who's sitting. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not all upset about it. I just can't support that. It's not something I can get behind here. I do think we should respect the flag. I do come from a military family, so that is part of the reason. So I get it. I get what the struggle is here as far as is it a good thing, is it a bad thing? And I see from the owner's point of view too. But from pure football, like I said, if I'm Jacksonville, I can get that kind of guarantee from Kaepernick that he's not going to do that, that he's just going to concentrate on football. Because you also have to wonder at this point, what kind of shape is he in? What kind of football shape is he in? Is he ready to play football? That's what I mean. Is he ready to make that commitment to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, which is pretty much 24/7? You need to be thinking quarterback and nothing else. You know, that's a tough thing to be. Yeah, you may not feel comfortable that he's ready to do that.
Yeah, look, it has to have taken a toll in some ways from a mental standpoint. He's got to be exhausted with it. If he's put it to the side for now to focus on football, so be it. I don't think he's ever going to put it to the side. I think he's made it a part of his life moving forward. I applaud him for taking a stance, whether or not I agree with that stance. So I don't want to make the show political. We're really talking about Kaepernick. I think George's comments are spot on because that's his experience. I think many of us have different experiences and support people making peaceful protests, whether or not we agree with their stance. So in any event, that's the thing about Kaepernick that George said earlier. There's no way he's not one of the most talented players in the world to get a roster spot. So you can argue anything you want, but don't argue that Kaepernick isn't talented enough to play quarterback in the NFL. He could probably start. And if you don't think he's in the top 32, you can't argue with me that he's not in the top 64 to make a team. So in any event, let's turn the page over to some Twitter questions that I've had holding on to for a couple of days, George, because I wanted to ask you about it. And one from a loyal listener, Steve Rafa. He's at Rafa718. Two-point PPR question. He can keep one of the following three. Matt Ryan in the 8th round. Well, this is answered for us. It was Spencer Ware in the 11th, so that's done. Or Terrence West in the 15th, so it's down to two. Matt Ryan in the 8th or Terrence West in the 15th.
Is it one quarterback league as far as we know?
Yes.
Yeah, then I'm going to keep it. I'll go with the running back, Terrence West. Matt Ryan in the 8th is good value too because there are a lot of leagues he's going in about round 5, round 6, but I'll say it again, quarterback is so deep. I'll take the starting running back. I'm not in love with Terrence West, but it's still a starting running back in the NFL in the 13th round. You're talking about he's going to go in with half that in most leagues. I'll take that.
Okay. Another loyal listener. Mr. Kraft. It's at and Mr. Kraft, and his title is Big Ben, which I don't quite understand. He said, time to punt on John Brown yet? If so, do I grab Cooper Kupp? Would you take Cooper Kupp over John Brown in a draft?
No, I wouldn't. The obvious problem with the L.A. quarterback situation, I'm not so sure I believe in Jared Goff if the one good preseason game. Plus, he's behind Watkins, could be behind Woods. So Gurley's going to run the ball a ton there. One thing about John Brown, I'm not a Brown person at all either. When I'm going to be on his bandwagon, I think he's going to have big things. But if you believe in wide receiver schedules, Arizona is top 5. They don't play too many tough cornerbacks this year. And once again, he's not the number one anyway. He's going to face a lot of number twos here. So I'll take a chance with John Brown again. Oh, in that situation, over Kupp.
Okay. We got a couple of more questions from listeners that we'll answer after the break that they sent us via Twitter. It's George and Mike on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hopefully you're listening to us live through the app. If not, download the app on the Fantasy Sports. FNT, it's FNTSY Radio, Google Play, and iTunes Store. Jeez, how did I screw that up, George? Right out of the break. I was tripping over myself. Anyway, you can listen to us on the app, on iHeartRadio, on TuneIn. So feel free to do that. We are now being listened to on more networks than we ever have before, so we appreciate you all tuning in no matter how you got to us. So, George, a few other questions via Twitter, which I've gotten in the last couple of days. Half-point PPR, what receiver do you prefer late? Is it J.J. Nelson, Jerron Brown, or Cooper Kupp? It's from the same guy that asked the question about John Brown, so he's decided to punt on John Brown. Would you take one of those other wide receivers later? And to make up for what you think is John Brown kind of falling apart at the seams physically.
J.J. Nelson, Jerron Brown, Cooper Kupp, not really high on any of them. They're all just dartboard throws for me. I think Kupp is the best player out of these three, but yeah. I don't like the opportunities there in the Rams. I just don't know what's going to be a big-time passing system here. And like I said, he may be the number 3 in the passing game. Yeah. And that's not a good thing for a team that's not doesn't want to throw the ball 40 times. They don't want to throw the ball 20 times. So I'm probably once again leaning towards J.J. Nelson, but Kupp is the best player out of these three.
So my answer there was I think I'd take Kupp, but I own Brown in our Dynasty League. And Nelson is a legit home run hitter. J.J. Nelson is the type of guy that I will probably have in daily fantasy sports lineups throughout the year at some point based on matchups. And as we get a little bit closer here, he could be a guy that I could see rising into draftable status. Keep in mind that Nelson and Jerron Brown have not really been getting drafted in 12 team 16 round drafts, George. I haven't seen them drafted much. As you said, they're a dartboard throw. The J.J. Nelson thing is interesting. He has scored some touchdowns in the past. He's had some big games, but the peaks and valleys are so great that unless you're in a deeper league, he's a tough guy to roster. He's a guy you can stream a little bit, but again, as we get more information, that may clarify a little bit. Another question for you. Who's your preferred late round Williams running back? I like the way he phrased this. The one in Buffalo or the one in Buffalo or the one in Green Bay? So Jamal Williams in Green Bay or Jonathan Williams in Buffalo?
No San Fran, no Joe?
No.
No Joe. Give me
Heck, throw it in there. If you want to take Joe, take Joe.
I think they could all have value. I really do. Green Bay, we'll start in San Fran. I think Joe does have the best value. I think he'll get some more touches. But you think Joe and San Fran, they don't seem to love Hyde. They like him. They don't like him. You draft two running backs. You sign Hightower. Let you know they're not thrilled with Hyde. So I think I like Joe the most. Okay, you go Buffalo? Okay. McCoy, is he going to be the goal line back this year? Yes, no, maybe. Who gets that job? They might throw the ball more anyway because they're going to be down trailing a bunch as well. But I think he has value. And, you get Jamal in Green Bay. What if Ty Montgomery can't handle a starting job? Maybe that's a starting job up for grabs there between Williams and Aaron Jones. So there's value in all of them, but you're talking – I think Joe will be drafted earlier than the other two by far. But there's value with the other two as well, taking some dartboard throws and see what happens.
So I've ranked them Joe, Jamal, Jonathan. The reason is because the previous two have a better chance to win the job. I do think there's something there for Jonathan Williams as a alternate player. Plus, if anything happened to LeSean McCoy, not that you'd root for it, then he's going to get a billion touches. So if everybody had a starting job amongst the three, I'd want Jonathan Williams. He's going to touch the ball more, even though Jamal's interesting in the Packers' offense. We're going to talk more football on the Roto Experts after this. It's Mike and George.